Hello, and welcome to another Nine Circles audio thing. This time, it is a true pleasure of mine to be joined by Brian Slagle, the founder of Metal Blade Records. Brian, how are you doing today, sir?
Good. Thanks. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome, sir. For those who don't know Brian, you know, of course, Metal Blade Records. They have given us some of the biggest names in metal. They continue to put out great artists. In fact, here at Nine Circles, our album of the month this past month was In Transmission by Capra, which we absolutely love. The crew down in Louisiana, Crow and the rest of the group, man, they're doing fantastic work there, Brian.
Thanks. We're super excited about them as well. Oh. And definitely happy that the response so far on the record's been really good. Oh,
fantastic. You know, I interviewed Mario and the Cult of Lilith guys months back. Your guys' roster continues to just be one home run after home run.
Thanks. It's been, we were really happy with a lot of the newer bands we've been working with lately. And again, the response we've been getting is really great. Yeah. And then Capra, along with, you know, a few of the other bands that are coming along, are part of our subsidiary. Well, it's really a subsidiary, it's a partnership label with my good friend Chris Santos. If you watch Chopped, he's the bald chef on Chopped, and he's also a very big metalhead. And Capra is part of Blacklight Media, which is his label that we distribute through Metal Blade.
You know, it is so funny that how people know certain people from, because when I read the presser about that label that you guys work with for them, people are like, I know that guy. And I pulled up a picture and they're like, yep, bingo. Just like you, Brian, when people see you in various documentaries or something, they're like, I know that guy. Like, but they just can't put a finger on it. But what brought me today to talking to you and wanting to interview you, and I have to say, your PR team, Nikki, holy crap, does she do an amazing job.
Yep, they're right. Absolutely.
What brought me to talking to you today, sir, is your guys' partnership with Violent Gentlemen. It's their 10-year anniversary, and they have released a bunch of stuff. When the press release came out, I could not jump on it quick enough, bought the hat, bought the shirt. You and I talked years ago. We talked a whole lot of hockey. So I have to talk to you, bring you on. We're going to talk a little metal, but we have to talk hockey here for a little bit. Brian, how did this whole collaboration come about?
So I met the VG guys many years ago now, actually. I think through a mutual friend who knew them. And said, hey, you should meet these guys. They're big fans of, you know, big music fans and obviously big hockey fans. So they're living down in Orange County. And just met them at a game in Anaheim and became very fast friends with them. Brian and Hammer, the two of the guys that run the place, are super great guys. And, you know, this is when they were kind of first starting out. But they were, you know, I thought what they're doing was very cool. Obviously, they're, you know, the other owner is George Peros, who, of course, played in the NHL for many years and is now the director of player safety.
As a Caps fan, I have to laugh because we will get to it. But George Peros has been in the crosshairs of a certain team recently.
Yeah, by the way, George is one of the nicest.
I have heard that.
Best guys ever. He lived in Vegas for right before he got this gig. He lived in Vegas for quite a while. So I had the pleasure of hanging out with him quite a few nights, and just a really, really good guy. And, but I guess, this comes with the territory. You know, no matter what you do, somebody's going to be mad at you. So
yeah.
I'm sure he's okay with that. Anyway, I became friends with all those guys and just saw their company grow. I really love the kind of independent spirit that they had, and just they had so many cool people that they were involved with, just all the kind of the right people, that would be hanging out of their office and like, oh, hey, meet this guy. He's James Cameron's chef and he's like a cool guy, and just all this sort of stuff. So over the years, we've been friends. We've done a couple of kind of semi collaborations before. They do these really cool shirts, and they did them. I don't know if they do anymore. Enforce, and then pick a team name, so we did we ran a few of those shirts with Enforce Los Angeles, New York, and Pittsburgh, because I'm a big Penguins fan, which I'm sure we'll talk about later, with the Metal Blade logo on them, and because that was kind of the first partnership that we did. And then about it's maybe a year and a half ago, we've thought about doing more stuff, and I gave them I have a ridiculous hockey jersey collection of like at one point it was almost 3,000. And when I was moving to Vegas, I was like, I'm taking most of them, but I can't take all of them. So I told those guys, I said, hey, I've got all these jerseys. Do you want them? And we can figure out something to do with them. So I gave them those. And this was, 4 or 5 years ago at this point. And we talked about doing some collaboration, and obviously it came around their 10th anniversary. We did the collab where we did this mystery jersey where everybody could buy a mystery jersey, $30. All the money went to charity, and surprising to me, I mean, I was hoping that they would be able to get rid of them. They sold 824 jerseys in 24 hours.
Yeah, I thought I jumped on it quick enough, and it was even sold out before I could grab one.
Yeah, I was really blown away, but just a testament to how great a business those guys have grown. So yeah, we did the collaboration. You can still get the t-shirts, jerseys, hats, all that good stuff.
Yep.
Our website or the VG website.
There are socks still available.
Yep.
If you play, in beer leagues and stuff like that. I had Paul of Cannibal Corpse on maybe a month ago, and him and I talked hockey for like an hour, and I'm sure you have spent countless times talking to him. I hope you've gone a little easy on him this past year, because being a Sabres fan is a little hard on poor Paul this past year.
Yeah, I feel bad for all. I have a lot of friends who are Sabres fans. For some reason, a lot of people from Buffalo are in the music business, which is really interesting. A lot of friends who are Sabres fans, and yeah, it's tough for them. I don't know what's going on over there. It's they have a lot of talented players. I mean, I saw all those guys, Darlene and Michael, and a lot of those players, the junior in college, and they're really good players, but there's something wrong up there. And, the Pegulas, who also own the Bills, and they've done a phenomenal job with the Bills, but a horrific job so far with the Sabres. So hopefully they can get it together. I feel bad for them up there. But
Brian, when I spoke to you years ago, we got more into your metal roots, and I want to get more into the hockey I hear, because hockey's and metal are my loves, but I didn't get to dive in with you. What was your introduction to hockey? What started you down this path?
So I was always a big sports fan as a kid. I played all the sports. I played baseball from like 5 and played organized baseball all the way until I was 18. I wanted to play hockey, but I could skate, but we didn't have enough money. Back then it was really, really, I mean, it still is very expensive.
Very.
So I was never able to really play proper hockey. But I played all the sports. I was a sports fan as a kid. I went to a couple Kings games. But what really got me hooked back on hockey was in 1981. Hockey wasn't really on national television anymore. It was gone. They had no deal or anything. And just out of the blue, a local channel was playing the Stanley Cup Finals that year. And there was the Islanders, and I'm trying to remember the second cup for them. I forget who they were playing, but anyway, and the games would literally come on at midnight or 11 o'clock or midnight, which is kind of right when I was winding my day down. I started watching them again, and I love the Islanders and the way they play. They're great games. So that kind of got me sort of back into hockey. Then I went to a few Kings games, and one of my friends, who actually, him and his dad printed my fanzine back in the day. And they said, hey, because they did a bunch of printing for the Lakers and the Kings. And what they would do, again, this is way back in the early 80s, and nobody would go to the games. Instead of paying for all the work they did, they just gave them season tickets to the Kings and the Lakers. And they weren't really big hockey fans, and they knew I was going to some of the games and was into it. And they said, hey, do you want these season tickets? We can't really use them, but, you know, if you want them, I paid them, you know, a small amount of money or something to it, and started going out to all the Kings games and just completely fell in love with the sport at that time, and it just grew from there.
You know, it is one of those sports that once you watch it on TV, and they've done so many things on TV with the color puck and all these things to try and get fans in, you know, but once you go to a game, there is something intoxicating about it that draws you in.
Well, yeah, and you know, being in LA, where especially, you know, in the early 80s, pre-Gretzky, I mean, there would be maybe 4,000 or 5,000 people there. Nobody was there. So I would take all my friends, and most of them had never been to a hockey game before. And all of them, you know, I hundreds of people over the years I've taken that have never been to a game before, all of them become in love with the sport, because really when you see it live, it's just, there's no other sport like it. It's fast, it's violent, it's skill, it's, you know, especially now, for metal fans.
Brian, in all your travels around the world, you know, just traveling, have you covered every NHL arena stateside yet, you know, in North America?
Almost.
Okay.
I've been to a hockey game in every city except for Winnipeg.
Okay.
And I haven't gone there yet, but I haven't been to some of the new arenas. Like, I've been to Buffalo, but I haven't been to the new arena.
Okay.
I've been to Edmonton. I've seen games there.
Heard the Rogers place is amazing.
Haven't been to the new one yet.
Okay.
So those are two. Raleigh, I haven't been to yet. And I'm trying to think.
Columbus?
I've been to Columbus, seen a game there.
Is that cannon pretty annoying?
It's great. They play AC/DC when it goes off.
Yeah, exactly.
It's loud. Luckily, I was not sitting very close to it. I imagine the closer you are to it, the more crazy it is. But
The Stars play Pantera. That's pretty cool.
Well, yeah. So I've become friends with a few. Pittsburgh, Dallas are the two main ones, and Washington as well, although the guy's not there anymore. But all of those three, I know the guys who play the music there, and they're all metalheads. So I would literally tell them, hey, will you play this? And they'll go, sure, and they'll play it. Like, you know, Amon Amarth is playing crazy stuff. So, yeah, it's fun. They play a lot of metal.
That is cool. But so where I started to go with that, when you've toured around the world, have you taken in a game at a European game, like a Swedish league or a KHL game?
Yeah, so I've been to a couple games in Germany.
Okay.
Which were great. In fact, a real quick funny story is the first time I went to a game in Germany, it was in Frankfurt, and it was an outdoor rink, but it had a roof over it. But anyway, and it was sold out, like whatever, 6,000 fans are crazy. And just like soccer, they sing songs and whatnot. So, you know, I don't know.
Oh, that?
All German, but I guess there was a bad call by one of the refs. And so they're singing a song. And my buddy who was, you know, working for us over there said, yeah, they're singing Kill the Blind Pig to the referees. Over there. I went to one game in Holland, which wasn't very. It was a lower minor league, but it's still kind of fun. But yeah, every time I'm in Sweden or any of those places, I'm always there in the summertime.
So does the excitement of an NHL game and the chaotic atmosphere of the smaller rink transfer over to the larger rinks over there? Because when they play the Olympic games, I love when they're on our size sheets. When they spread it out like KHL, it's not, you know, so much of a checking game. It's more of an open passing game. Was the excitement still there?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, I'm trying to remember now because some of the rinks in Germany now are not the 100 by 80. They're the NHL size rinks. So it's a little bit better. I believe the one I went to Frankfurt and Mannheim. I believe the one in Mannheim, which is really nice, by the way, it's brand new. It's like 16,000 seat arena, sold out every game. But I think it was there. But the games were fun. I mean, it's super fun over there. They're just interesting because the crowd reaction is so different from what you get here. I mean, they sing songs. It's very similar to a soccer game over there.
Yeah,
songs and all that sort of stuff. It's fun.
Which, it's glad you mentioned that about the crowds. I, you know, I mentioned before we started recording, and listeners here know I have an autoimmune disorder that's caused me to be disabled in my heart failure from that. So I have been, I jokingly say, I've been locked away like Sloth from the Goonies for the past year. I have been locked away trying to say, I finally got vaccinated. I got both my shots, and I kind of celebrated it myself by on Saturday, I went to the Caps Flyers game. And they're sorry, they let 2,000 people in, and it was weird that there were people there, but if they weren't piping in the fake crowd noise, it still was missing the energy of the crowd.
Yeah, it's interesting. I've been to three Golden Knights games now, and the first two, there were 3,900 people there, and they were pretty loud for 3,900. The first game, though, they were piping in a little bit of the crowd noise, which they didn't do the second game. And then I just went last night, actually, which is the last home game, and there was, I think, 8,000 people there. So it's a little bit returning to normal. Still weird going anywhere, because seeming like you, I didn't really do anything for a year other than I don't watch hockey when it was on, thankfully. But I did actually just hockey related. I went to one of my dreams. I've been to World Junior tournaments. I've been to the Olympics. I've been to, you know, all these college hockey finals, all this stuff, Memorial Cup. I've pretty much seen all the main tournaments for the most part. But the one I've always wanted to go to is the under 18 tournament, which is, you know, all these young kids are playing. But it's always during hockey season, and it's never anywhere near me. It's some weird place, which is really difficult to go to and all this. But anyway, this year they had it in Dallas, and I actually have a residence there. So I actually went to the entire tournament. It was just a dream come true.
That is awesome.
I literally saw probably three or four potential Hall of Famers. This kid Bedard is, you know, putting up numbers like Connor McDavid. It was just at 15. It was just ridiculous.
Isn't that where Knight stood on his head a couple of times in net?
They've had, I mean, you know, McDavid's played there. I mean, a lot of guys have played there. A lot of times Canada doesn't have a lot of players there because they're all in the
Capital. John Carlson won it for USA years back.
Oh, that was the under 20.
Oh, the under 20. Yes. This is the 18. I'm sorry. Yes.
But I saw, so probably 8 of the 10 first round picks in 2021, the top two picks in 2022 and the top two picks in 2023, who both may become some of the greatest players ever. This kid Bedard, again, is putting up numbers like McDavid, and he's incredible. And then this Russian kid, Michkov, almost broke Ovechkin's record for that tournament with 14 goals. This kid had 12 goals.
And holy smokes.
Incredible. And a bunch of other players. So it was really just phenomenal to go. It's weird being around people, which is very strange.
Isn't it?
Yeah, in Texas, I mean, I'm fully vaccinated as well, but, you know, Texas doesn't really – they don't have a mask mandate, although they're supposed to wear them in the arena, but not everybody did. So that was really weird. But the tournament itself is phenomenal.
So – You quickly mentioned Vegas. I have to ask, what are your thoughts on the gold helmets? Yes, yay, nay.
Oh, horrible. I hate them.
They are horrendous.
Everything that they've done, all the uniforms I love. I love the red jerseys, which are their, you know, retro jerseys.
Oh, I love those.
Everything that is great, but those gold helmets are awful. I've mentioned it on Twitter a couple times. They lost the first two games with them on. I said, can we just get rid of these things?
They are so bad. Were you at the Caps Knights Cup raising game?
Yeah, I went. I went to almost every game of that tournament. I went to all the games in Vegas, and I went to one of the games in Washington. So, that was fun. So I was there, obviously, when they won the Cup. So that was cool.
You know how I always love watching the Cup. There's something that gives me goosebumps. That just watching these guys, and, you know, being a fan like I am, the battle that hockey is. There's something about it. How is it being there when they, you know, say Ovechkin or Crosby or so and so, Stamkos, come get the Cup? Is it giving you goosebumps when you're there?
Oh, 1,000,000%. Oh, I've been lucky enough to do that three times now. I saw the Cup clinching game in Anaheim when they won, which was great. But I saw the second Cup clinching game in Los Angeles in 14, and then this would be the third one where I saw the Cup actually handed over. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, as a fan, that's the ultimate, right? Is to be there when they and just seeing the players and, you know, skate around and everybody gets the chance with the Cup. And yeah, it's really great. And, you know, I liked all those teams. I mean, obviously I wanted Vegas to win, but I do like the Caps. I've had friends that worked over there, and I like, you know, Ovechkin. I mean, one of the greatest players ever. Yeah. So,
you know, it is, I just wanted Ovechkin to win, not for me being a fan, just to finally get the the naysayers off his back.
So, yeah, yeah. I totally agree. And you don't want to go down as being the greatest player ever to play that never won a cup. So
you mentioned Connor, and I love your hockey knowledge. Do you see Connor, if Edmonton doesn't improve the back end more? I know he has Leon, you know, as his wingman. Do you see him staying for the long term?
So here's my thing on McDavid, and you know, nobody really talks about this, and I've become a little bit vocal about it, like, although the Edmonton fans are very happy about it. because people, you know, will ask, like, who's the best, I think what happened was my friend Sean Rourke, who works at the NHL.
He was hands down awesome guy.
Yeah, he's a great dude. We used to do a podcast together for years where we interviewed, you know, musicians and celebrities about their love of metal and hockey. A lot of players. So anyway, so he mentioned something like, who would you start a team with right now, Matthews or McDavid? And I said, Matthews, hands down. Matthews is a complete player. He plays 200 feet. McDavid plays zero defense.
He does.
None.
Whatsoever. My critique about Ovechkin for years.
Yeah, but I mean, Ovi did other things. Ovi would hit guys. But I mean, literally, McDavid is a one-dimensional player. Granted, the best offensive player in the league by far. But I mentioned Steve Yzerman to people because we kind of got into it. The guy, you know, typical Edmonton fans, he's a great player. I said, look, Steve Yzerman was putting up 150 points, but was never winning. As soon as he played two ways, he put up 90 points, but he won three cups. You know, you could say the same thing about Crosby, where, you know, Crosby when first came in wasn't really a great two-way player. And I think it's the same thing with McDavid. Like, he's going to have to eventually play some defense, because he plays just absolutely zero now. I was watching a game, and it just kind of boggles my mind that more people don't talk about it, because the media loves him so much. And I've talked to my, you know, friends and colleagues who work, you know, cover the NHL, and they're in agreement. But anyway, I watched the game, and this was the kind of prototypical thing. I think it was against Calgary. 2-2 game, late in the third period. McDavid had a shift, but, you know, a little long shift, and he was kind of down in his in their zone. And they showed the goal, and basically the Calgary scored to win 3-2. And they showed that angle where McDavid was skating so slowly to the bench. Like, I could have skated faster than that to the bench. So it ended up being a 5-on-4 and ended up losing. And you see this with him constantly, where he's not even trying to play defense. And that's why I don't think I don't think, you know, you can get the best defenseman in the world if your star player isn't willing to make that sacrifice and play defense. That is going to rub off on the whole team. And that's why they're one of the worst defensive teams in the league, I think.
By far. You know, Brian, living where you live, are you just by the nature of that watching more Western Conference games, or are you just a hockey nut and you're just putting on, you know, games starting at 4 o'clock or so here?
Oh yeah. I try to watch everything as much as I can, you know, and that's been kind of the you know, trying to look at silver linings with all this. I will probably watch more hockey in the last year than I ever have, because I would literally didn't have that much to do. Yeah. So I actually end up watching all the games. So I try to watch everything. I mean, obviously I pay a little bit more attention to the West Coast than the East Coast, but I like to watch teams that play offensive and up, you know. I love Tampa, I love the Caps, I love the Penguins, you know, all the teams that play more up tempo style. So I try to watch as much of that as humanly possible. There's only a few teams that I don't watch a whole lot of, but
don't like the boring Islanders hockey that they're playing.
You know, here's the weird thing about the Islanders. I actually really like the Islanders. I actually picked them.
Oh, I love Torts.
I picked them to win the division, actually, which didn't quite work out. But you know, who knew that Anders Lee was going to get?
Yeah.
But they play that style. But you've got guys like Barzal and you know, Brock Nelson. They've got really good offensive players. So they're actually, it's not as boring to watch as, you know, the old Devils or.
Oh, I was so glad you just mentioned that.
Yeah, the worst one, though, of all was the Florida Panthers in the 90s that just clutched and grabbed their way to the Stanley Cup final, which was just hideous. I actually went to one of the finals games we played Colorado in Denver. I was so happy Colorado won. It's like, if this team wins by basically cheating, we're in big trouble.
So, you know, we are on the verge of playoffs starting. They mentioned... You know, real quick, sorry, before we get into the playoffs, I have to ask you then, where I was going with watching coverage, if you had to say number one in the world, are you Austin Matthews over Connor? Are you a Nathan MacKinnon guy?
I am Austin Matthews over Connor. I am Nathan MacKinnon over Connor. I think Matthews I would put number one, because he's a complete 200-foot player. And obviously the best goal scorer in the league right now. No defense to Ovechkin, who's it's full time. And I'm same thing, McKinnon. I like his game better than McDavid again, because McDavid just will not play any defense whatsoever.
Do you see?
I would put those 1, 2, 3, and that's probably pretty controversial.
I would probably say, you know, the thing is that I watch a lot of hockey, but you know, because I live fantasy, I'm just like you. I'm watching every single thing about it. I'm just not watching a lot of those games, or I'm missing some because my Caps games are on first. So I'm not watching a lot of them from start to finish to see. But whenever Connor's on, luckily I get to watch him. Nathan, I need to watch more because I know he's talented. I just don't see enough of him to.
Yeah, you have to. I think you have to see him live a little bit more. You know, Colorado plays, surprisingly enough, even though they have a lot of speed and skill, they play a very, very defensive game. So some of their games can be pretty boring actually to watch sometimes. But when you see them live, you really get the breadth of skill that McKinnon has and the speed he's got. But I think that they play that way because, you know, I don't know that their goaltending is all that super strong. Although I did pick them to go to the Stanley Cup Finals this year. I picked them in Tampa to be in the finals.
Nobody would argue with you.
I'm going to change that around because I don't think Tampa's going to be Florida the first round.
But you know what, bro? I'm so glad I'm talking to you right now because that series is going to be
amazing.
Did you see their game the other day? All the penalties they made that Caps Rangers game look like it was kids fighting on the playground.
Yeah, it's already a war, and they haven't even started
playing. Oh my god!
They basically could play nine games in a row. So
yeah. So what have you thought of the four divisions that we have now?
Well, I think it's been great. I love it because of all the rivalries. So I think all of it's been great. It hasn't been boring. I love seeing teams play them over and over again. I think that's really interesting. And it's going to, even after we get all through all this, when we go back to the normal divisions, it's going to create all these intense rivalries. And I think these playoffs could be some of the best playoffs we've ever seen. Because again, it's all rivals and it's going to be just super intense.
If you have to rank them, who would you say? East, Central, West, and then the North?
I think the West is probably number one just because Vegas and Colorado are probably two of the top three teams, I think, in the league. And they're obviously in the same division. And then then it gets, you know, it's tough. There's good teams everywhere. So, yeah. you know, Tampa, we'll have to see who comes back. I mean, a lot of their guys are injured.
And how about Nashville? How about Nashville coming back?
Yeah, I like that because my friend, Eric Goodbranson got traded there, and he's a big-time metalhead, so I'm happy that he's able to go into the playoffs. And they look – I mean, obviously, they beat Carolina last night. Carolina, I'm sure, didn't care. Carolina is one of the teams that I think is really good. But that first-round matchup, Nashville-Carolina, that could be a tricky one for Carolina, I think.
You know, I'm so glad you just mentioned your friend with Nashville. Do you – I have – you know, I used to do a Caps pod – I used to cover the Caps going to games and stuff. You know, all these are as a hobby. I don't ever consider myself smart enough to be a writer or anything like that. I do have the gift of gab. But I would be in the locker room and I would always hear, you know, they're either listening to hip-hop music or house music. I don't hear a lot of metalheads in hockey. So have you found that the metalheads reach out to you in hockey?
Obviously, because I'm such a big fan, and I've been lucky enough to become friends with people who work for the NHL or cover the NHL. So usually, if there's a metalhead on a team, I'll eventually hear about it one way or another. So,
there was one for the Sharks years back, Dan
Boyle.
Dan Boyle.
Yeah, Dan's a good friend of mine. He was on our podcast once, and he used to the coolest thing about Dan is every game after the game when they did the pressers, he was always wearing a Metal Blade
t-shirt. Oh, that's awesome.
That was really cool. Yeah,
that is awesome.
He's a really good guy.
That is all. That is really sweet. So will you be traveling for these playoff games? You going to try and catch some?
So I think what I'm going to do, I did not get the Knights. I have season tickets obviously for the Knights, but obviously everything's kind of like haphazard now. So they gave me the opportunity to buy playoff tickets, but I decided not to do that for a couple of reasons. Number one, you know, they want to go to full capacity June 1st, which I'm just, you know, I guess even though I'm fully vaccinated, everything, I'm just not quite ready for that yet.
Yeah, Brian. Yeah. Like I said, even though I'm vaccinated, I don't feel comfortable going to a restaurant to eat.
Yeah, it's a little weird. So I'm not going to go in the first round, because the other reason is that honestly I want to watch all these. The first round is going to be just off the chart insane. And if I go to any of the games, obviously I'm going to be missing games, so I'm going to probably not go to anything at least in the first two rounds. And then we'll see where it goes. We'll see who's around and who's doing it at that point. But at some point I'll probably travel. I would love to get back to a Stanley Cup final game again. I usually go every year to at least one cup final game somewhere. So depending upon where it is. So we'll see.
You know, Brian, you've watched hockey for years. I know you ended up being a Penguins fan. How did that happen? Growing up where you grew up, was it Mario?
Los Angeles, right? So the dumbest thing, really the dumbest thing ever, when I was a little kid, I was really into Penguins. And as soon as I found out there's a team named the Penguins, I was probably 6 or 7 years old. I decided that I would adopt them as my team. And I did. And then, of course, you know, Lemieux and Yager and everything came about, and that kind of solidified it. So I've always been a big.
So cute little Penguins. Here is this guy who likes Penguins. You ended up being a Penguins fan. Hey, but what a run. You know, we talked about Connor's 100 points that he's on. Look how quick Mario got it.
Yeah, I mean, look, that, Mario, I was lucky enough to see Gretzky here in LA for the 6 or so years he was here. I still think Mario's the greatest player. You go back to Orr and Howe, and you can certainly argue that it's hard to transcend. You know, people always argue who's the best player. I said the best player of their generation necessarily, but I like Mario even over Gretzky. And even Gretzky said that if Lemieux was healthy, he would have broken all of Gretzky's records anyway. So
yeah, Brian, this is not to make you feel old or any disrespect here. I was born in '83. So I did not, you know, watch hockey of the 80s or the 70s and stuff like that. But going back watching early footage, the goalies, holy crap, a cardboard cutout seems like they could stand still and stack the pads better than the goalies are.
Yeah, crazy. You watch those games, the equipment's so small. It was like, yeah. No wonder.
I am not taking anything away from Gretzky, but my God, the goalies weren't as good like they are now. So when you see the numbers that Ovechkin or Connor and these guys put up, it's mind-blowing how amazing these goalies are and the competition that they're playing against.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's hard to describe different things. And look, I saw Gretzky a lot. Obviously, I've seen, you know, Ovechkin and Crosby and all these guys now. And look, all these players are phenomenal players now. I still think that Gretzky and Lemieux are still the two best players ever. So just the things that they would do on the ice, other people can't do. And I think the big key, a lot of these guys, you'll see them, like, you know, McDavid's thing is the speed, and you know, he's got an incredible speed, and obviously he's got incredible skill. But I would see Lemieux and Gretzky do things that I've never seen any player ever do. Like, they would literally be skating up, and out of nowhere, the puck's on some guy's stick and it's in the net. Like, you couldn't even see them. I don't know how they just had this weird innate sense that where somebody would be. And they put the puck to where they know somebody will go. And I haven't seen it, you know, Crosby sometimes can do that, but it's really interesting to watch stuff like that.
So yeah, listening to NHL radio in the car the other day, which, I mean, they do a great job on that satellite channel.
I'm a big fan.
They say that the NHL has a character problem. You know, I'm not a big NFL fan because some of the personalities sometimes are maybe over the top or something like this, but they say that, like, Connor, maybe it's hockey as the team sport that it is, but he is about as bland as that water you were just taking a sip from.
Yeah, well, look, this comes all the way down from the top. You know, these kids are groomed very early on to say all the cliches and not have an opinion, not have anything, because that's what the NHL wants. The NHL doesn't want. And when you do have players like Brett Hull or Jeremy Roenick or some of these guys that are outspoken, the NHL clams down on them, and they'll, you know, find them and they'll talk to them and say, you can't do that. You've got to kind of be toe the line and just be a very boring player, which I think is a massive problem for the league. And one of the reasons why it's not bigger than it probably could be, because you're right. There's no personalities, like zero.
None.
Like all these guys, every interview is the same interview. I mean, I could sit here and do, yeah, you know, we got to try harder.
Yeah.
I don't even know why they bother interviewing them.
do If you're running ESPN now, do you try and change that when they take over the rights next year? Well, or you really can't change that?
I'm personally very concerned about this ESPN deal. When ESPN had hockey before, they did an absolutely horrific job of covering it. Terrible. I mean, beyond terrible. I couldn't wait until they got away from it. So now I'm a little concerned as to what's going to happen here, because they really don't care about the NHL. But
yeah, they don't.
For whatever reason, they have a deal with them now. And the scariest thing for me, the best thing about the NHL in the last few years is NHL TV, where you can watch every single game. You can watch the home or away feed whenever you want to. You can watch the highlights. It's incredible. A lot of times, you know, if I go to the game, like yesterday I went to the game, so I couldn't see all the early games. I'll just go and watch the highlight, the, you know, condensed games or recaps, and they're great. So I don't know. All that's going to go to ESPN next year, and I'm a big UFC guy.
Oh, so am I.
You know, the UFC on ESPN it's awful. I mean, it's on an app, and sometimes the app doesn't work, and it's weird trying to find things. So I'm really concerned about how that's going to go. And the games that they have currently on ESPN Plus, the quality is awful. Like, I don't know how they're getting it or what they're running it through. So it's awful. So I'm very concerned about what ESPN is going to do with the game. Now, that being said, it would be nice if they would kind of focus on personalities a little bit more and maybe try to push the league more to do that. But, you know, I don't know. That's going to be a tough thing, because these kids are just, you know, they're just programmed this way from day one.
But, you know, and the thing is, I don't want to watch a post-game interview and, you know, see Connor McDavid wearing 16 gold chains around his neck, and he's just, you know, because that's not, yeah, that's not hockey players. You know, they're very team oriented, just like you said, they're very trained. But I think NHL does have a problem, because here in the States, outside of, you know, people like you and I, Connor McDavid is still a no name. People only know pretty much Crosby and Ovechkin. The greatest player in the world to a lot of people is still unknown. ESPN is going to need to do a better job marketing these people.
Agreed. And I hope they do. I mean, you know, I'm hopeful that, you know, I know some friends of mine who I like, who are in the media, that are up for jobs over there, which if they get in there, I think that will be really good. So, you know, we'll see how it goes.
Like you mentioned fighting. Look at what Dana did with, like, Masvidal when he had the Askren's knockout. He was everywhere all of a sudden.
Well, Dana White is a master at marketing. I mean, that's why the UFC is so huge, is they market their fighters, and they do the right things to market them. They put the right fights together. But, you know, that's Dana White doing it. You know, look, Gary Bettman is a lawyer. I think, you know, personally, I think he's done a really incredible job in growing the sport. Obviously, it's way bigger than it ever has been.
And are you trying to get booed out the next time people see you at Vegas games, Brett?
Yeah, right. No. But, you know, I mean, you just cut this deal, you know, with ESPN and TNT, which
yes.
is three times the amount.
It should hopefully raise the cap.
He 100%. And yeah. So he's done a really good job for the owners, making money for them and making money for the players. But they at the NHL are very, very conservative. I know that because, you know, I've interacted with them on a few occasions trying to do things with them. And it's just so conservative, so conservative. And I don't see that changing. But we'll see what ESPN can do. Like I said, I hope they cover it well. I hope they get the right people to cover it, and the coverage is good. But, you know, we'll see. And no, the scary thing is nobody really knows. I asked, you know, all my friends at the NHL, so NHL TV is going to go to ESPN. What does that mean? Is it going to be the same thing just on ESPN Plus? Or is it going to be different? Are we not going to get all the games? Are we only going to get one broadcast? Like, if I have to watch the home broadcast for Chicago or Boston, I won't do that.
if I have to hear, hey, but you know what though? It is a plus, and NBC does a good, I used to love Doc's coverage, but if anything that can spare me of Pierre telling me where somebody's from again and who he knows, I'll take that any day.
Yeah, right. He's not the most popular guy. I don't know him at all. So
yeah, but you know, but hey, I'm
a little annoying on the coverage.
I you know, my Caps guys, Joe B and Craig, you know, I love them, but sometimes they're not harsh enough on the team for me.
Look, a lot of these guys are homers. That's why I mentioned, you know, Boston, Chicago, because those guys are the biggest homers.
That's why I love radio broadcasts. You listen to what's his name doing the radio coverage for the Lightning Oh my God!
Yeah, he's great. He's
Hall of Famer. I'm drawing a blank on his name.
Great. Well, Mike Lang with the Penguins too. I mean, he's great. So yeah, we'll see what happens with ESPN. But I agree. I mean, they need to market these players more. But you know, you got to find a guy with a personality that's tough to do.
So Brian, I have to ask you. Can we just mention the league? It's been the big talk the past couple weeks. Yeah, of course, I'm a huge Caps fan. I'm not going to be a homer here. What do you think of the Tom Wilson, Boshevin, Panarin mess?
Yeah, it's a tough one. And poor George got skewered pretty well. But look, you know, that was, you know, Gary Bettman and Bill Daly obviously presided over that as well. So it's not just George. Being a hockey fan, you know, I think I know the sport pretty well. I get why they didn't suspend him, because it's a scrum, and scrums happen every game,
single game, almost every stoppage.
Yeah, the problem that they have is that if they suspend somebody for a scrum, then that sets a precedent, and now they have to suspend guys for scrums. Now, I think it was Darren McCarty said, you know, came up with a point that, well, but they also set the precedent for a tough guy beating up the other team's best player, which that's where this is the problem I have with Tom Wilson, is that, you know, he knew who he had. He knew he had Panarin. He intentionally tried to hurt him. And that you can't have that. I think he should have been suspended for at least one game, so he didn't have the circus that the next game was. I understand where the league's coming from too, where if you start suspending guys for scrums, then what are you going to spend? You have five suspensions a night, you know. So it's a real tough one. But in all honesty, the problem with this whole thing is the Rangers. If the Rangers had a tough guy, that would never have happened. Tom Wilson's not going to do that if the Rangers have somebody that can stand up to him. The Rangers don't. They just don't have a tough guy at all. So that way, Panarin's going to get thrown around like that, which is horrible. He's one of the best players in the world. You don't want to see a guy get hurt in that manner, which I think is terrible. But it's tough. There's really no right answer there. I know everybody, you know, obviously Wilson has a history, and he clearly – I'm sure that the league has gone to him and the team and said, okay, you got away with this one. You do something again, and we're not going to be so nice, because obviously he's got a history. And, you know, I mean, that was – and honestly, just a really stupid play by Tom Wilson, because he very could have been suspended for the playoffs.
For the rest of the season.
Ruin the Caps' chances of the Cup. So you just can't do stuff like that. You know, you got away with it this time, but probably not again.
You know, the thing about this that gets me is that when people say, oh, Wilson's just a goon. No, Brian, you grew up watching, you know, it's even really before my time. You grew up seeing true hockey goons. Okay. Right, Tom Wilson is not a hockey goon.
No, look, Tom Wilson is
any team in the league would kill to have Tom Wilson on their team.
100%. I mean, look, he's a big, tough power forward. He's got a lot of skill.
He has 150 career points. Like, he's a great player.
He's a very good player. However, he goes over the line. And, you know, I get it that some guys got to play with that edge. You know, you look at a guy like, there's a bunch of guys.
As a Penguins fan, were you able to defend Matt Cook's actions?
Well, see, yeah. So I was going to mention that. So I was going to mention two things. Number one, you have a guy like Brad Marchand, who's clearly has turned into this phenomenal skilled player, who's got this weird edge to him.
But licking people?
Calm it down now. Like, you don't see him doing super crazy stuff. But yeah, when Matt Cook was with the Penguins, exactly, he was the dirtiest player in the league, and, you know, every team loved to have him. But he would start doing really things that could really seriously injure another player. And the Penguins actually sat him down and said, "Look, we love you on the team. We love your game. We want you to stay in the lineup. You've got to curb what you're doing. You've got to calm down." And to his credit, he, you know, the last couple of years he played with the Penguins, I don't think he got suspended again.
I don't think he did.
Yeah. So I think the Caps need to do that with Wilson. I mean, he's a phenomenal player, really skilled guy. Obviously, you've got to have the toughness, but you can't go over the edge. And you can't, you know, clearly he's got some sort of an anger issue, because, you know, I mean, you just look at what he did to Panarin. I mean, that's scary. I mean, it's a miracle he didn't smash his head on the ice.
Yeah, the thing I heard, though, is if you jump during a scrum, if you jump on the Wolverine's back, what do you expect?
100%. But I think the best story I heard was Anson Carter told a story where, you know, he was a rookie and he was coming up. There's a huge scrum and, like, you know, everybody pairs off with people and, you know, he grabs a guy. Because in that moment, you don't know who you have. Like, probably at first, Tom Wilson probably didn't know. He said some guy jumped on his back, so he's throwing him around. But at some point, you know who.
Yeah, where is this long, flowy hair?
Yeah, right. So Anson Carter told the story about, you know, he was in this big scrum and, you know, everybody's, you know, taking a partner and he grabs, you know, again, you just grab whoever's there. You don't know who it is. He grabs a guy and literally the guy starts standing all the way up. And it's like, oh, no, it's Stu Grimson, like the Grim Reaper. And so Grimson looks at him. He goes, look, kid, I'm not going to hurt you as long as you don't embarrass me. And Anson Carter said, yes, sir, Mr. And nothing happened. So, but, you know, there's a tough guy that knows what he's doing and has respect. I think the key word here that a lot of people mentioned, and I agree, is respect for the game and respect for other players. And that's one thing that in that instance, Wilson did not show and has shown that on other occasions. So he's got to dial that back because, again, he's a valuable player. They don't win the Stanley Cup without Tom Wilson.
No. And then, of course, what the hell did Friedman do that the Flyers hated him so much and Gostisbehere took him out like the day or two after that?
Yeah, oh. And they were teammates too. So that honestly is a much more dangerous play.
Way dangerous.
I mean, doing something like that guy should put a shatter in his leg and you know, ended his career. So that was pretty bad.
You know, Tom Wilson's hit on Carlo earlier in the year, I can't defend that as much as I could possibly defend this fight, but the league was in a tough spot. I don't think they were going to come out on top anyway to really make people happy.
Yeah, like you're damned if you do, damned if you don't.
And then you see the fallout that there's some rumors that, you know, the manager was fired because the owner wanted this message put out and they didn't want it to put it out and they put it out anyway. Big mess.
Well, James Dolan, owner of the Rangers, you can Google him. There's not a lot of positive stuff out there on him. So, and you know, it's just too bad because, you know, John Davidson's a really good hockey guy. He'll land somewhere, and I'm sure he'll do a really good job there.
You ever taken in a game at you have Madison Square, right?
Right. Oh gosh, I mean, I've had an apartment in New York for. Like,
is it too big, or is it still a nice barn?
No, it's great. You have to know where to sit. Like I kind of found these really great seats that are the first row on the second level, so you can see the whole ice. Because the problem with the Garden is as great as it is to see games there, the atmosphere is obviously great. It's, you know, legendary building, but there's a lot of places you sit where you lose a lot of the ice just because it's configured so strange.
How is it? Great.
You can see all of it.
How about at the other end of the spectrum? How about seeing an Isles game in Nassau out there? Is that so dirty?
Old Nassau Coliseum was great because the sight lines were unbelievable. Like if you were 15, 16 yeah. rows up, everything was perfect. You're really close to it. So it was fun, super fun to go to games there. My favorite arenas though are obviously I love Vegas. I mean, nobody does it like they do here. It's the atmosphere is just, you have to be there to see it.
Brian, I'm not saying they're bandwagon fans, but was the town just dying for a sports team? Because I see Knights merch being worn everywhere. And so, there's a joke about Caps fans here that they only became a Caps fan when Ovi signed.
Yeah. Well, you know, Blackhawks, same thing. But, so here's the story about Vegas, because people would always ask me, is this team going to do well in Vegas? I go, you don't understand. This was the largest major city in the country without a pro sports team because of the whole betting issue, which is kind of ridiculous anyway. So I was like, whoever gets in first, that team is going to be unbelievably successful because the city's been dying for that. So, and obviously the Stanley Cup run didn't hurt, obviously. And I have so many friends here that were like, had never heard of hockey before, never went to a game before, and now they're in love with the sport. One of the best examples is my friend Chris Kale, who's the bass player for Five Finger Death Punch. I saw him at, it was either the first or second preseason game. He's like, it's my first hockey game ever. I've never been to a game. I've never even watched it on TV. And 3 months later, he's like a diehard fan. Like he's on the road and he's showing himself watching, you know, the games in the hotel. And he's become a huge fan. That's so, so commonplace out here. But this is a really great, and all the people that have tickets there, it's not corporate stuff at all. It's all fans that have the tickets.
Really?
Yeah, it's going to be the same with the Raiders. So the Vegas is sold out every game. There's 6,500 people on a waiting list for season tickets. Wow. The Raiders sold out their season tickets in about about a week. And there's now 60,000 people on the waiting list to get season tickets for the Raiders. So it's just crazy how
holy smokes.
Yeah, they love sports here.
Do you think Seattle's going to be the same way?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure it will be. That's always been a good sports town, too. You look at how well the Seahawks do. But the problem that Seattle's got is, man, I mean, how do you follow up what the Knights did? I mean, they've got if they win tomorrow, they'll win the third division title in 4 years for an expansion team. And they went to the Stanley Cup Finals the first year. I mean, how do you follow that up?
And look at what, you know, you guys have had everything. The Fleury's been amazing. Leonard's been, you know, such an amazing story out there. Stone is looking great coming down the street. It's been one. You guys are top to bottom.
Yeah, it's good. It's fun to watch them. I don't think they're deep enough to win a cup, unfortunately. They're really, you know, center ice is pretty thin, and they don't have a lot of finishers. That's the one, you know, they don't have a superstar. It's rare teams win a cup without a superstar. So I guess you'd say Fleury might be their superstar, but we'll see. I mean, I would like them to win the cup, but I just don't know that they can.
But Penguins are still your first love.
Yeah, it's kind of 1-1A. Like when they play together, it's which obviously rarely happens. But when they do, it's kind of like, well, I guess I'm fine either way, I guess.
So, Brian, a couple more questions. I'll let you go. I could talk to you for days. I'm going. Boy, would I love to do a hockey podcast with you. My God, you have the best personality. Brian, you have been in the business, you know, in some capacity now for decades now. How has it been from your point of view navigating the COVID world the past year with concerts and music and stuff? Was this something unlike you've seen? Of course, you've never seen a pandemic like this.
Yeah. I mean, we didn't really know what to expect, honestly, of course. And, you know, we were shut down all over the world for 3 months like everybody else was. So, and obviously it's been really difficult on the band. So we weren't really sure what was going to happen. Strangely enough, at least for the label itself, we had one of the best years we've ever had. We didn't put out a lot of new music, but the ones that we did put out did extremely well. But we did a lot of, you know, reissuing of catalog stuff, a lot of vinyl. And I think because, you know, and this is a credit to how great the fans are, you know, they couldn't go to concerts, they couldn't spend money on concerts. So what we found a lot of them doing is they were buying a lot of band merchandise, buying, you know, we sold out of every piece, every CD and vinyl and everything that we did, which led to be a really good year, which is, you know, I think they wanted to help the bands however they could. So thank you to everybody out there that bought a band, piece of merch or any of the stuff that we put out. So it ended up being a really good year for us, but you know, it's tough on the bands. You know, the bands, you know, they lost two, you know, almost two summers of income, which is not a great thing. I mean, they'll all survive it, but it's certainly taken a mental toll on a lot of people too, just not being able to perform and stuff. So it hasn't been easy, but you know, I think we're getting close to the end now. I think it looks like, you know, concerts are going to start back up here in the fall, at least in the States, hopefully, knock on wood, that'll keep going. But it's been interesting, but I try to look at things more on the positivity side of it. Like, you know, we got these great live streams that bands did that we've never seen before that we'll probably hopefully continue to see, because it's really cool what a lot of these bands have done. And, you know, there's definitely some positive things that have happened through it. But, yeah, it's been weird. That's for sure.
Yeah, Brian, did you have, though, was this same air of uncertainty, though? I always trying to find the positive. Did you find yourself maybe with friends or colleagues having talks like, when the digital era was coming about, or when we were transitioning from tapes to CDs to from records to all these different mediums, were these talks happening, or like when grunge was coming up?
Sure. Well, I mean, look, one of the biggest mistakes I ever made was back when we transitioned from vinyl to CDs. Everyone kept telling me, like, you need to stop manufacturing vinyl because it's not going to last long. CD is going to be the big thing. No, it's not. Vinyl's never going away. I love vinyl. It's not going away. So I didn't listen to anybody, like an idiot, and almost put me out of business at that point. Because
Literally
in 1 week, all the stores around the country said, okay, that's it. We're getting rid of vinyl. We're shipping it all back, and we're putting all CDs in. And, you know, the way it works in the music business back then is, you know, you get paid for the vinyl when it goes in the stores, but if they ship it back, you have to pay the money back.
Oh, crap.
I think I owed like $100,000 or something to our distributor. And I had to basically bankroll the company for a few months just on credit cards. They went out and get every credit card.
Shit.
So that taught me the lesson of you really need to pay attention to when things change. So I think we've been, you know, a little bit ahead of the game, looking into how, you know, what things happen, and also just dealing with, you know, a crisis like that, the file sharing thing and all these other stuff.
Yeah.
You know, we've been able to navigate through all of that. And certainly everybody in the industry talks about that stuff too. And, you know, we've been able to do it, you know, I think in a fairly decent way. Just for, as an example, like with Spotify, when Spotify first came out, they were not paying the independent labels the same there as they were paying the majors. Of course, the majors are part owners of Spotify as well. So a lot of us independent labels got together and said, we're not going to do a deal with Spotify until they pay us what they pay the major labels. That's only fair. And we kind of were a little late to the party. Same thing with Apple when Apple Music or iTunes first came out. But, you know, we were able to stick together and eventually got what we should have gotten, which is the same deal. So, you know, we all talk about it. And, it, you know, you have to work on all these transitions and stuff. So, but like I said, making that one mistake back then made me very aware of when things change and getting ahead of it before it takes
a toll. Brad, I got like two more questions. I'll let you go because I have taken up a lot of your time. I got a press release a couple weeks back. Metal Massacre 13 is coming out on the
20th.
15. I'm sorry. I got my Roman numerals wrong. Yeah. 15. God, I'm a guy to go back to school. Yeah. Metal Massacre 15 is coming out. I'm sure you didn't think back then that Metal Massacre 2 would ever come out, did you?
No, right? Yeah, I mean, look, none of us back in those early days ever thought that metal would be as big as it is and has lasted this long. It's definitely pretty crazy.
You know, Brian, it's just crazy to think that you've, you know, and that's why I love talking to you, because I'm a huge history fan, and you are, to me, if you look at like a metal Mount Rushmore, you definitely deserve a place on it, because you were there as one of the forefathers for it. I know you are just as important as the artist, because you're there pumping this stuff out.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that. But it's just, you know, I'm just a fan like everybody else, and it's just been fun for me to you know, turn bands on to everybody else that's into it.
Yeah, but at this point in your life, you've heard probably more bands than you can count. Do you still search out new stuff? You know, when you're listening, do you have the old favorites you go back to, or are you just, I'll listen to what, you know, we're getting out the label, but I'll just listen to my hockey podcast, or I'm throwing on like hardcore history or something.
No, I still listen to music all the time. All right. You know, yeah. I have it on the background when I'm working. I'll put Spotify on, or
yeah.
I have a playlist that I put together of a few thousand songs that I do, but I don't, it's a little bit different for me. Like I don't really have the time, unfortunately, to listen to like all the demos and stuff that gets,
of course. Oh,
people ask me about it. So, but we do have people that do.
Yeah.
And basically what'll happen is that they'll listen to it, and if they find something that's halfway decent and they think that it might work, then they'll send it to me and see if I like.
How were those early days, Brian? Was your like mailbox or PO box? Are you just like having armfuls of stuff coming into you?
Not at first. At first, it wasn't. It took a while because, you know, back then there was no internet. There was nothing. So for, I mean, it was the first 3 years of doing this with just me in my mom's garage. That was it. Wow. So I would look forward to getting a big pile of stuff because it took a little while before that happened. But yeah, eventually, you know, once things started to take off, yeah, that would, I mean, we would be getting just insane amounts of packages every week. So,
Brian, last thing to ask, you ever thought about writing a book?
So I have a book.
Do you? Okay. Well, forgive my ignorance.
Yeah. No. Yeah. It's called For the Sake of Heaviness, The History of Metal Blade Records. It's
okay.
You know, on Amazon or, you know, Kindle or any of those things.
Well, forgive my ignorance. No, I should have done. I should have done better research before.
It's all there. That's all right. I actually am working on a second book to kind of just expand on a lot of the stories with a lot of the bands and talk about some more obscure bands. That was kind of what a lot of people wanted more of in the first book. So,
you know, Brian, no one lives forever. And unfortunately, you know, some artists, you know, die way too young and stuff like that. You've probably lost a lot of friends and stuff over the years. I'm sure it never, you know, the LG from Entombed passed away recently. My God, we lose some big names every year. I'm sure you've lost a lot of friends over the years too. That never gets easy.
No, not at all.
Well, Brian, Give me your Stanley Cup pick. I know it's changed a little bit. I know you told me your favorites. Right now, May 11th, Stanley Cup pick.
Well, I hate deferring from my original pick. So I am going to stick with my original Stanley Cup pick, which is Tampa and Colorado in the final, which I have to look and see, though. Is that – I forget how they're going to – I don't even know if – do we know how they're going to do the basically the final four?
I don't know how they're going to do it.
Because, see, that's the one thing is like – because Tampa could play Colorado in the for that top four, and it could be Toronto or whoever comes out of the all Canadian division against so that's what I don't really know about. So I'll say if it works that way, I'll say Tampa and Colorado with Tampa winning. If not, then I'll say Colorado versus that's gonna be tough. I'm trying to think who's gonna come out of the East. Originally I thought it might be the Caps, but now I don't know what's going on with
Look how Boston's playing, bud.
Yeah, that series is going to be brutal, too.
It looks like Taylor Hall has life again. Tuukka Rask is back and healthy. Oh, scary.
Yep. It's tough. I don't know. I'm going to stay with my Tampa-Colorado pick, and that one of those two teams, if they have to face each other before the finals, whoever wins that series.
There's talk here, too, on NHL.com. It just popped up. Jack Eichel was uncertain about his future with the Sabres. Do you see him lasting?
Yeah, I saw that. I mean, look, they have to change that organization from top to bottom, I think. And, you know, I mentioned earlier the Pegulas, who've done such a good job with the Bills. They need to change the culture there because, I mean, Rasmus Dahlin, I saw as a junior player and was one of the best defensemen I've ever seen. I thought he was going to come into the league, you know, like Drew Doughty or some of these other guys and just be the Cale Makar, all these players and be this phenomenal player. And he's a shell of his former self. I think that whole organization needs to change. And if they do that and they bring in the right hockey people and you have the right culture from the top on down, then, you know, maybe Eichel can be there. But it doesn't sound particularly very good at the moment.
Do you know what I heard yesterday on the NHL radio? Bring in John Tortorella and he'll light a fire under them.
Yeah, I mean, look, John Davidson just got let go of the Rangers. I mean, he's a great hockey guy, which, you know, I think he's done a great job turning around that Ranger team. And they're going to be a good team for a lot of years to come. They got so many good young players. So maybe they bring him in and change the culture there. Maybe that's enough to keep Jack there. I don't know.
Who is your heart pick? Final question.
Well, it's going to be McDavid, whether I like it or not. So it's going to be him no matter what. I mean, most valuable player to your team. I mean, that's tough. You know, there's so many good players out there. McKinnon obviously has got to be in
Patrick Kane.
Yeah. I mean, if the Blackhawks would have made the playoffs, I think you would have had a real good thing for Kane. But it's going to be McDavid. So there's really no.
Yeah, there's really no reason to even discuss. Brian. It is an honor to speak to you, sir. We originally talked, you know, Metal Blade, your collaboration with Violent Gentlemen is absolutely wonderful. You guys at Metal Blade have such solid releases. The Capra is amazing. Everything you guys are putting out is amazing. I absolutely love what you guys are doing. Cool. Brian, you are, again, you're one of the great, sir.
Well, I appreciate that, man. This was a lot of fun. Thanks.
It was a lot of fun talking to you, Brian. I thank you for everything you've done to help me. And you've always been really down to earth. And I see you responding to people all the time and stuff. So thank you, Brian.
Thanks. And you take care of yourself too, man.
I certainly will, buddy. Thank you.